This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. The recent massive data breach of health insurance company Anthem's customer and employee records once again highlights the need for security of digital information by both corporations and individuals. Hackers accessed tens of millions of records, which included social security numbers, names, and other information criminals can use to steal a person's identity. Joining us to discuss how individuals can protect themselves and their digital information and what to do if you're notified your records have been compromised are Bo Wehovenuk, who is Assistant Vice President in the University of Cincinnati Office of Information Security, Dr. James Walden, Associate Professor at the Northern Kentucky University College of Informatics, and Dave Hatter, Solution Architect and Partner with Definity Partners. And thanks, everybody, for being here this afternoon. And Bo, apologies if I didn't quite get your name right.
No worries.
I think your idea of having a contest to see who could pronounce your name correctly might be a good idea. Anyhow, Dave, talk about the scope of this. Just how many people? Do we know the exact number of people who were affected by this Anthem breach?
Well, the most recent stories I've seen said roughly 80 million. You know,
That many?
Yeah, 80 million records. I'm not sure, you know, how many people that translates into. I can tell you, unfortunately, I am one of them. I've gotten the emails from Anthem. And usually what happens with these things, and you guys feel free to jump in any time, is, you know, as more research is done, as more discovery takes place, they find out sometimes it's even more broad than originally was released. And I'm sure they're not looking forward to saying that it was bigger than that. So it'll be interesting to keep an eye on this. It's a gigantic problem.
Bo, one of the things that disturbs me about the Anthem breach was that it took them a couple of days after the actual attack before they confirmed that it had happened. Mm-hmm. Is it common for there to be that kind of a lag time from when the suspicious activity is first noticed until the time you say, yeah, this is what happened to us?
Unfortunately, it is very common because often you do not know when actually a breach occurs and you need to take some time to investigate it. When you have an incident like this, you go in a crisis mode, and often you do not know what's going on, so it takes you a while to get your bearings together. We still do not have all the details about Anthem breach per se, but there are some reports that it might have been breached as early as April of last year.
That long ago?
Right.
Is that common for these things to just oftentimes fly under the radar, nobody knows they've been hit till...
I wish I could tell you otherwise. We're living in a great, wonderful world, and it is common. I forget exact number of days on average it takes for a breach to come to discovered, but I think it's about 230 to 140 days on average for a company to discover that they've been breached.
Are there a lot of times where people just, they never even know they've been breached?
Yes. I mean, breaches are on a rise. I mean, last year was year of breaches, as Dave mentioned. This year we already started not very good.
Yeah.
And question is, are we having more breaches? Or we just becoming aware of those, and before we just were not aware that they occurred.
James, are there any suspicions at this point about who might have attacked Anthem?
There are suspicions that the attack came from China based on the type of malware used and the fact that apparently a Chinese organization registered some domain names similar to the Anthem domain names, so they could, you know, trick people to come to those.
You know, in general, do we have ideas of who perpetrates these type of attacks? Is it more likely to be an individual or an organized group of some kind that's doing this?
These large-scale ones are definitely from a group of some kind. It definitely takes a combination of expertise to do a break into this type, someone to write the malicious software, someone to social engineer an employee to running it, and then people to actually get in, find what they want, maintain their position in the network, and then exfiltrate the data back to wherever the organization is based.
So it sounds like there's a lot of advanced preparation the hackers are doing to get ready for the attack in the first place.
Definitely.
Well, and if I could just jump in real quick, I think he hit on an important point. In many cases, this isn't just one thing. They're using many different attack vectors. It's malware, it's social engineering, it's trying to compromise accounts. It's not necessarily, oh, I just flip this one switch and sneak in because the firewall is insecure. On these large-scale breaches, in many cases, there's all kinds of different ways that people are trying to get in there, and that's why it's hard for businesses to get their head around this. There's many moving parts to it, and just throwing in a firewall or something will not stop this problem.
Yeah, like the Target breach from last year, they actually came in through their heating, ventilation, and air conditioning vendors' network. So instead of going in directly, they found a sideway into Target's network.
A back door, so to speak. They snuck in.
Yeah.
Yeah. How does this attack compare to what happened to Target or Home Depot?
Certainly similar in scale and the level of skill from the people perpetrating it.
I think it's a lot worse, personally, because in this case, you know, they got all kinds of interesting, personally identifiable information about people as opposed to just credit card numbers. Most banks have really advanced fraud detection. They can turn your credit card number off in minutes. I've had it happen to me. Probably you guys have, too. I'm sure your listeners have. Here they've got information about employees. They've got information about employers, employees. They've got information they can use to turn around and then hack other places, hack back into here, and who knows what they really got. They claim they didn't get medical records, but, you know, hackers want those medical records more than a credit card number because it's more valuable to sell. So in my mind, this is much worse than something like the Target breach, personally.
Yeah, I tend to agree with David. In a Target case, Home Depot, we lost credit cards. Here, we lost our security numbers, we lost addresses, income, employment records. I can file tax returns. I can cash out your 401k accounts. I mean, I can do anything I want.
The Social Security number is a pretty big one, isn't it?
If that gets compromised, I have your date of birth, your address. I can change your address with your 401k provider and mail me a check.
And one point I wanted to make, too, because I've seen it now called scam within a scam. So now you have scammers sending out phishing-related emails that look like they came from Anthem, using this as leverage to get you to cough up more information to someone. And it's to say, this thing has so many facets and so many angles. It's, in my opinion, way worse than anything we've seen so far, anything that we know about so far. Because I think Bo is also right on his earlier point that there's stuff going on right now no one knows about yet. And are there more breaches, or are we just better at finding them? I personally believe it's probably some combination of both.
So how does somebody know that the communication they're getting from Anthem is legit? If they're seeing things that look like, oh, that's an email from Anthem, I should
basically open it. If it says you should click on a link or something, don't trust it. Anthem has said that they will not ask you to do that. There are also people making phone calls to individuals claiming that they're from Anthem to help you deal with the data breach. So they say they won't do that either. They plan to communicate via paper mail and with company representatives. There's a website, anthemfacts.com, that you can go to get the current status information about everything, and it's safer to go there than click on a link or answer somebody who calls you.
Yeah, and we have that link on our website, wvxu.org, as well, so you can find it there. And so if they're legit, they'll probably mail it to you anyhow. Mail you something saying, this is what's happened. Is that pretty much?
Yeah, they're required by the law to notify people. It depends on the state. In the state of Ohio, they have 45 days to notify. Also, Anthem did announce that starting Friday the 13th, which is actually a good day, right?
How ironic.
They will start providing free credit monitoring. All you have to go is to go to their website that you just named, and you can sign up for it ahead of time. So if you do get emails, you do get phone calls, don't click on it, don't respond to it, just go to that website and do everything you need from there.
And I think that they both have good advice in that, in general, it's always better if you initiate the action. Don't take action based on some email you got. It could be false no matter what the situation is. It's better read it, call the whoever it purports to be from. You take the action. Don't allow yourself to get sucked into one of these scams.
You know, that brings up another point. Dave, isn't a lot of ID theft, it's low tech. It's things like stealing mail out of mailboxes sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah, that's another thing that people don't realize. A lot of this hacking is done. We were talking about this outside. You know, a lot of this hacking is done by like super geniuses and computer centers somewhere. But it's relatively easy to download software off the internet and make it, you know, easy to hack. A lot of it is very low tech. It's social engineering. Kevin Mitnick, you know, one of the greatest hackers of all time, his whole thing was social engineering. He'd call up and pretend to be like your network support guy. Hey, I need to change your password. The network support guy does not need to know your password, right? They're not going to call you and ask you a question like that. So, yeah, that's what I'm saying. This is so hard because there's so many different ways they attack you, and they know that non-technical folks don't understand this stuff and don't want to understand it.
You also, with so many records, the organization that took those isn't going to use them directly, probably. About the only direct use would be that they would extort money from Anthem, saying, well, tell about this breach if you don't pay up. Normally what they do is that they resell those records to other people who use them in all sorts of different relatively low-tech ways. And probably our best safeguard is that they don't actually have enough people to monetize that many records yet. So that's why not everybody will get scammed.
Well, is it becoming more the health records are the thing now? I mean, it used to be your bank records, your financial records were the things that you had to be concerned about. But it seems like lately health records are becoming more and more of a a thing that you steal and you go out and sell on the black market. Is that the case?
Yeah, because traditionally in cybercrime, people went after financial institutions. They realized it. They enhanced their security greatly, and hackers had to go after next low-hanging fruit. It became healthcare. And I think right now healthcare records go for about, 10 times as much as a regular credit card identity data. Yeah, so this does cost much more money. Going back to Ansem, though, and 80 million records, it will be very interesting who actually obtains those records. Because if it is a illegal commercial organization, yes, there will be scams, there will be identity theft. However, if we have a country actor behind it, they may be actually wanting to safeguard that data. They use it more from intelligence perspective, intelligence gathering, and average consumer would be less likely to be impacted by that.
Is it possible they might use this to perpetrate some kind of healthcare fraud on the federal government, say Medicare type things, or mm-hmm. even at the state level, Medicaid?
I think there's a high likelihood of that. Mm-hmm. I think it's one of the main reasons hackers want this. Again, unlike banks who have very elaborate and very powerful fraud detection, your average health organization, your average government has no way to detect this sort of stuff. And again, just from some studies I saw that Bo mentioned about hackers willing to pay 10 times as much, it's because they do go create accounts and mm-hmm. they create Medicare fraud and they buy stuff in other people's names. So, yeah, it really is low-hanging fruit in that the organizations that are paying out on this don't really have any way to detect it like banks can.
So does this make Ansem more vulnerable in the future? Now that we're talking about going in the back door, now do these hackers have new ways to go in the back door to Ansem?
I think it does, because they stole employee information from Ansem, which now in theory gives them, whether it's, they may not have passwords, but now they know names. They can do the old phone-based social engineering. Hey, this is Fred over in Department X. I need to know this. And they'll work their way through the people that they've got information about to figure out how to hack into other systems that maybe they didn't breach this time. Ansem is in a terrible position. What do you guys think? I think it's bad.
Yeah, it's very, very bad. I think they probably will go back with the information they obtained.
What about you, Bo? It's a pretty grim situation for Ansem.
I believe so. I would be worried there if I was working for security.
I'd be looking for a new job, I can tell you that.
I mean, I was trying to approximately add how much money it will cost and all the fines, the mailings, credit monitoring, civil litigation, and it looks pretty scary.
Yeah, I did see that Ansem was looking for a cloud security expert. So,
I won't be applying, I can tell you that.
Yeah, NPR did an interesting story that cited this statistic, that healthcare companies saw a 72% increase in cyber attacks from 2013 to 2014. Are they just doing a poorer job of protecting their digital information, a poorer job than, say, banks are doing?
Oh, it's a tough question, because without knowing the companies directly, when it pertains to insurance companies, often they grow through acquisition. Every time when they grow through acquisition, they buy another company that has another IT system and they have to integrate. And you have very distributed IT environment, non-standard, and that's what creates its weakness, because there are different ways to get in, and once you're in, you can leave additional back doors to come back later.
I would agree with that, and I'm not sure that they're necessarily doing a poor job, although I will say that one of the pieces of information that came out early on in this Ansem thing, and they kind of poo-pooed it, was that they didn't have this information encrypted, and then turned around and said, well, but administrators' credentials were compromised, so it didn't really matter that it wasn't encrypted. Mm-hmm. I'm like, well, yeah, that's like doubly unfortunate, but why you would not be encrypting this relatively sensitive information is kind of beyond me. So that kind of leads me back a little bit to maybe they're not doing as good of a job. That just blew my mind.
Is that just damage control on their part saying that kind of thing?
I don't know, maybe. Probably.
Like Bo was saying, who knows, right?
Yeah, still things that trying to get their footing together and try to figure out what's going on, is they don't have all the answers in front of them yet.
Yes, it's very difficult to figure out how bad a compromise is, because attackers can put a backdoor in a system that's totally silent but might send a beacon back like once a month or something. So you won't see it until a month has gone by, and that assumes you're looking for that one little network connection, which can be very hard to find in
millions or billions of them or something. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, you were talking about how long it can take to even detect a breach, and how long it takes to investigate these things sometimes. In Ansem's case, it could be months, or how long before they finally figure this out? Mm-hmm. I mean, any ideas? Could be years before they ever determine what exactly happened?
I doubt it will be that long, but I think it's fair to say it's going to take at least 2 to 3 months to get a clear picture of what occurred.
Whatever happened with Home Depot and Target, did they ever completely figure out what hit them?
Yeah, I mean, Target, I mean, they did get to the bottom of it. I'm not as familiar with Home Depot breach.
Nor am I, yeah, either. I did not honestly follow the story that close. I don't know.
Okay. Doesn't when you have an attack like this, Dave, on a healthcare provider, doesn't a lot of the cost of this get passed on to the consumer eventually?
Oh, I'm sure it will. I'm sure it will. Eventually, someone is going to pay, and you can probably look down inside your pocket, and that's where the money's going to come from.
Okay, so premiums will probably go up for consumers because of this?
Yeah, the numbers I saw around this particular sort of healthcare hacking topic and Medicare fraud, it's like $6 billion a year. You know, that money's coming from somewhere, and obviously as more of this goes on and there's more fraud, it's going to have to be passed on to somebody. So whether it's you paying higher premiums or you paying higher taxes, you know, someone's paying for it somehow. This stuff's not free. So that's another unfortunate aspect of this. The impact on people individually as well as the collective impact on all of us.
Now, you're one of the Anthem customers who could be affected by this.
According to the email I got today, yes, I am.
So
I didn't click on any links in it, though, let me tell you.
Okay.
And I'm not going to.
So what do you tell Anthem customers who are sweating it out right now? What kind of advice do each of you have for them?
Well, I guess my first piece of advice is to reiterate what was already said. If you get an email, it may not be legitimate.
Don't click on
that
link.
Click on anything in it. You know, call Anthem, initiate any action yourself. Go to Anthem Facts, read the facts there. They've got some good information. And then from there, you know, I would look at like freezing your credit, getting your credit report, starting to watch your accounts. You know, all of the stuff that Anthem and other folks that have paid attention to this suggest, there's tons of information on steps that you can take to try to mitigate the impact on you. You know, those are the kind of things that I can tell you I'm going to do personally and would encourage other folks to do. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think you've covered the main things that are specific to the breach. And in general, to keep your personal computer safe, I think the most important thing is really to keep your software up to date. I really like Secunia's Personal Security Inspector, PSI product, because it'll track all your software and keep it up to date so that when they do send you a social engineering email and you click it and you go to a dangerous website, it doesn't necessarily take over your computer instantly, which is what often happens if you're not completely up to date.
Yeah. Well, I take a slightly different look at life, even though I do agree with everything that was said. When we talk to a lot of security people, it's often because of some type of crisis. And we're always like, you got to be vigilant. You got to watch your credit. You got to do this and this and this. And it's absolutely true. I do not disagree with that. But first thing, people need to take a step back and relax and think about it. Be logical about it. Nothing changed. I mean, you know, the information wasn't used yet. It's not clear whether passwords were breached from Anthem Portal, but I would recommend changing their passwords, and if they use same password anywhere else, change that password as well. Sign up for free service for credit monitoring through their website, and beware of any type of opportunity crimes and scams regarding Anthem. As far as monitoring your accounts, I would just focus on monitoring your significant accounts, such as 401k, and stay current with news, because chances are if this data is being used, it's going to be used on somebody else first before it's used on you, so by then you'll know what's happening.
And isn't it easy to put a fraud alert on your credit report with the credit bureau so they're keeping an eye on it?
Mm-hmm.
So that's a simple thing you do. And you usually only have to call one credit bureau. Then don't they have to initiate it for all the other credit bureaus if you say, hey, I want a 90-day fraud alert on my credit report? No?
Okay. I know it changed the rules a few times, but it used to be that easy. You call and you have a 90-day alert. I'm not sure how it works now.
Yeah.
But due to federal law, there is a website, annualcreditreport.com. It's run by 3 credit bureaus, again, per federal requirement. And you can go and you can get one free credit report per year, but you can get one from each bureau. So technically you get 3 credit reports a year. So I would encourage to use the service. It's vetted, it's free, and this way you don't have to pay anybody and you can monitor your credit history.
Yeah, some stories you read make it seem that you have to check all of your accounts every day, but what's a reasonable practice? I mean, you were saying, Bo, take a deep breath and relax. Don't get too concerned about it, but do keep an eye on it. Mm-hmm. I mean, what's reasonable without driving yourself nuts?
Yeah, like the daily checks are more the responsibility of the credit monitoring service. So I would check it every couple months, really. I think that would be plenty often.
Yeah. You don't need, I agree. You don't need to panic. You just need to be more vigilant than usual and, you know, check for weird looking activity. Do all of the things that said here. But yeah, I'm not, even though I've got the email that's telling me that my data was in there, I'm not like freaking out over it or anything, you know.
Yeah, my son got compromised back in December. Somebody actually got his debit card account number, and he was able to rectify it very quickly, and he just kind of took a deep breath and said, I'll watch my account. And so far, nothing's happened. He's been fine. And I think a lot of cases, you may never know exactly what's coming. I mean,
well, and Bo pointed out earlier, you know, I think the biggest risk for an individual here right now is probably identity theft and or like getting into someone's 401k using this information, something like that. I mean, it could be directly financial, or it may be more of a long-term thing where suddenly, you know, you're getting a subpoena from some state to show up in court for some crimes that you committed that, you know, you would never happen to go to that state because someone used your identity. And that's why I think a lot of this, unfortunately, may not play out for a long time, because you're talking about a gigantic volume of data. Nobody knows who has it or what their intent is. So, again, I wouldn't freak out over it, but I think people do need to be more vigilant. And Bo mentioned it before. People need to just start paying attention in general and be more educated and aware of the stuff that's going on and that they are at risk from this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Bo and James, since you both work with universities, how aware are college students these days? Are they how aware and how savvy are they about internet security issues? Bo laughs and says, not very.
That's a great question. Well, our average incoming freshman, anybody want to guess how many wireless devices they bring to campus?
At least two.
I would say three.
Five.
Wow.
That's average freshman. You have your smartphone, you have your tablet, you have your laptop, you have your wireless printer, and you have your some type of gaming station. So five devices. So they're aware of a lot of threats and they're careful, but also they live in a world where it's new norm. So they kind of navigate this new norm. And, you know, sometimes they take things for granted and may miss something. But what I want to point out here, cyber world is not much different from a physical world. And if we think about it, this is the way we grew up, we always were taught, be vigilant when you go to public place a lot, or when you go at night, make sure you go to well-lit place, you know, don't do anything crazy, you know, and things like this, lock your door, lock your car, and cyber world is no different than that. It just people need to learn what are those signs and things to look out in the cyber world to basically take what they already know in the physical world and apply it in a digital.
So don't talk to strangers holds true in the cyber world as well.
That's perfect. Yes.
Although it's harder to tell if you're talking to a stranger in the cyber world.
Yeah. Yes. How about from your perspective, how savvy are college students about this whole issue?
I think they tend to be overconfident in how secure they are. They know about some types of threats, but they don't realize how easy it is to hack into a computer system that's not up to date, how easy it is to bypass firewall and antivirus. That really, firewall and antivirus are good tools. They'll stop basically the unsophisticated attackers who, you know, send out a phishing email to millions of people with a piece of malware in it. They'll find that. But with these target attacks like the one on Anthem, you need much more than just a couple boxes on your network and some software.
I mean, that stuff's like a bare minimum, really.
Right.
Yeah, I agree.
Bo mentioned this earlier that, last year was the year of the data breach, right? And then this year is off to a really, really lousy start. So what do each of you think? Do you think that we're going to top last year in terms of the number of cyber attacks?
Well, I hate to be the downer here, but I predict, yes, it will be worse this year than last year, because I think we're just really starting to hit the tip of the iceberg on this thing. And a lot of businesses are not thinking about, you know, the big guys that have this kind of sensitive information, obviously they have to think about it. But there's lots of smaller businesses out there that aren't thinking about this stuff at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we tend to look at security after we get breached, and then an organization decides, now we can invest resources in it. Although sometimes not even then, like Sony had their big PlayStation Network hack in 2012, and then 2014 came around and they got hacked just as easily again.
So we don't take the prevention attitude that we should be taking about this whole thing.
Right, right. And you definitely need a prevention attitude. You need a security team and to realize that security isn't a box you can buy. You really do need to have a security team in your organization looking for these types of things to happen.
Mm-hmm. And security is everybody's responsibility. Also, I think the more events like this we have, the more people become aware of it, and it brings this issue up. One of the challenges we have in the United States, our intelligence about cyber threats is very distributed. I know what's going on in UC. I do not know what's going on somewhere else. We need to come together. We need to do more cyber threat intelligence sharing so that way we're better able to protect ourselves from these threats.
Are you as grim as Dave? Is this year going to be as bad as or worse than last year?
I agree with that, but I actually look at this as opportunity because I look at it as opportunity for us to improve on ourselves and improve on our response and improve on our monitoring and detection capabilities that actually make us better.
Bo, James, and Dave, thanks for talking with us this afternoon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bo Wojhowanuk, who is Assistant Vice President in the University of Cincinnati Office of Information Security, and Dr. James Walden, Associate Professor at the Northern Kentucky University College of Informatics, and Dave Hatter, Solution Architect and Partner with Definity Partners. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Archives of our program are available at WVXU.org. The producer for today's program was Pete Reitmeier. The technical director was Kevin Rawinski. Thanks to the WVXU engineering staff, Don Danko, Bill Dean, and Mike McCannich. I'm Mark Haney. Stay tuned for Science Friday coming up next on 91.7 WVXU.